Let's not talk about that at all.
No.
It's fucking, it was hard not to.
Hold on, what second. Else can we say? Let's talk about Trump. Let's talk about the hurricane. Let's talk about the gas shortage.
No. It's going to be hard not to say something about the gas shortage. Yeah. But fuck, I don't see how I would. But
it's not that you're a supporter. It's that you're mad about shortage. It. Yeah, you're flying off half-cocked as, what's his name?
I was just thinking, I was like, oh, it's been 2 weeks. And I was like, I was just on the fly going, like, maybe they want like, an explanation. Like, oh, yeah, the hurricane, sorry, it's just happening. Fuck that, we're jumping to it.
Jump into it.
All right, and welcome back to another episode of All Damn Night. I am your host, Brandon Richardson, with resident expert
Sean Demers.
Welcome back, Sean.
All right, here we go.
Ready to jump into it again. So if you haven't heard the show before, basically what the premise is we pick the story from music history. One of us does the research. The other one has no idea what it is.
I have no idea what it is.
Sean has no idea what it is.
No idea.
We're not like particularly uniquely qualified to talk about any of this shit, but we don't care. We'll talk about it anyways. And it's like hanging out with your buddies all night and talking about music and history, so dig it. It's all damn night.
Welcome to All Damn Night. Dig it.
So, Sean, in 2001, the wonderful, timeless Nicole Kidman film Moulin Rouge was released, and lives were forever changed. 8 not Oscar nominations, including one for Nicole Kidman as Best Actress. In BBC's 2016 poll of the greatest films since 2000, Moulin Rouge ranked 53rd.
You've got to be kidding me.
I'm not, 53rd.
Are you serious? Yeah. I still never even seen it.
In 2016, so that poll was last year, and they ranked it number 53rd.
53rd best movie of all time?
Since 2000. Okay. Since 2000.
All right.
The film portrays a romantic world centered around the legendary Paris venue, the Moulin Rouge. At the turn of the 20th century, Ewan McGregor plays a charming writer, which I'm sure would be hard for him to do, charming devil, who falls in love with the bohemian lifestyle of Paris. He helps his friends
finish... Wouldn't it be a Parisian lifestyle?
Like the bohemian Parisian... Yeah, like, they're synonymous almost.
I just imagine a whole bunch of people living in rooms.
Yeah, not the aristocratic Paris. Like, okay. Like low rent, like, writing stories that don't make any money Paris. He helped his friends in this
Starbucks-esque?
Very much so.
Okay.
Finish a play called Spectacular, which is... Stupid.
So is this like the underdog story of the one writer who got fame and fortune from typewriting in Starbucks lobby?
I think, frankly, you're going to be disgusted when you figure out where this is going. he writes this play called Spectacular, and is eventually confused for a duke by the ravishing but tuberculosis-ridden star courtesan Chastis, played by Nicole Kidman.
Chastis.
Yes.
So you have to put the accent over the I. This is not Chastis.
Once she gets the tuberculosis, okay. And you have to put the accent over the I.
Oh, I see.
Long story short.
It's kind of like the A on the chest.
It's like but it's a T.
T on the forehead.
T on the forehead for tuberculosis. In case you can't tell by the horrific cough. Long story short, she dies and tells him to write a story about her. A love story that will last forever. Now,
Before we move on here.
You have a question?
I can't get it out of my brain. So if someone had pneumonia, would you put a P? Or would you
I think
not?
You'd have to put a P in.
I think you would have to put a P in.
Yeah, because there's a variety of other illnesses you'd have to put a P for.
That's very true. Yeah. Okay.
So that's my official All Damn Night medical opinion. Okay. Now, while Moulin Rouge is certainly a real place, it opened in 1889 and is still open to this day, although the original location burned down in 1915 and it had to be reopened. The Moulin Rouge is renowned as the origin of the can-can dance, and it's a veritable mecca for the bohemian artistic movement, which is so often fondly recalled by hipsters anytime they see a fucking Expedia commercial.
What do you mean?
They want to talk about how great it is to go to fucking Europe all the time.
Oh. Like,
live like a bum out of your backpack and fucking spend your student loans on crumpets and shit.
And get mugged.
Yeah. Which sounds terrific.
So is the Can-Can with the Rockettes, the New York City Rockettes, dude?
Man, I guess I should have YouTubed it. I honestly don't know. I think, Can-Can, I think of Mr. Burns doing it. Okay. I don't even know that he Can-Can. I'm just thinking it's like a Mr. Burns type of dance.
We are not dancing definitely experts.
Like, no, not at all. But definitely like a Prohibition era. Okay. That's when this was like all the right. Can-Can. If you close your eyes, you can imagine the star performers draped in the most stylish fashions of the times, entertaining their audience with a repertoire of chic dances, jokes, and skits. However, as is often the case in history, the reality wasn't quite so neat and tidy.
Was there a lot of, like, rotten fruit in...
yeah, that's everywhere.
Comedically that's... large canes for pulling people
that's
off
stage. That's just out in the streets. Okay. That's how they arrested people. And that's how they awarded kids. You give them rotten fruit, and if you were bad, they hooked you off the street. That's how they tried to catch Jack the Ripper. They put a big thing of rotten fruit underneath a box with a stick propping it up.
Except they spelt it wrong. On the sign, they put fresh fruit.
Right.
So, and he wasn't fresh, really interested.
Fr-O-O-T.
Yeah. What they should have put is fresh bodies.
He would have fucking been all over that.
He would have been all over it.
If you close your eyes, you can see them.
Oh, you know what would have been better? Is it like a giant-sized mouse trap? Instead of a box and a string.
You may have very well caught Jack the Ripper review they did 140 years ago. If you close your eyes, you can see him performing. In fact, history is not quite so neat and tidy. In fact, during its early days, the highest paid star of the show at the Moulin Rouge was a Frenchman named Joseph Pujols, a.k.a. La Petomane. I never figured out how to say it.
It's all French to me.
Right, exactly. Thank you for making that amazing joke. Pujols appeared on stage in a dapper tuxedo, looking every bit the distinguished Parisian gentleman. One could be forgiven for imagining him seated at a piano or blowing on any number of brass or woodwind instruments to the delight of his audience. However, Pujols took the stage with no instrument. Sort of.
Okay.
From Wikipedia.
What kind of place is this Moulin Rouge?
It's like a cabaret theater.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Like so tasteful to an extent, not like a strip club?
It's not a strip club. I'm not going to tell you that it's tasteful.
Okay.
Can I get into...
I'll allow it.
Yeah, okay.
It this time.
This is what I'll tell you. I hesitate to call it tasteful. I'm going to leave that up to you.
Okay.
After you hear...
I feel like if it burnt down and it wasn't tasteful, they wouldn't have built it again.
No. Definitely a happy story.
Okay.
Okay? It's just maybe not... well, you'll see. Joseph, I don't know how he's
Joseph.
Joseph Joffre is the French World War One general, so I'm just gonna call him Pujol, okay? I don't have time to fuck with the French pronunciation of it. Pujol.
This is America, damn it.
Hell yeah, fellas. Unless we love our French listeners. Thanks for tuning in. Be sure and
inner Canadians.
Check us
as
out
well.
On Patreon, the French Patreon, yeah. Buy plenty of t shirts and called,
I think they spell it the same.
No, Patreon.
Le Patreon.
We're just really endearing ourselves to the French audience here. Pujol was born in Marseille.
Just $1 gets you cheese of the month club.
Marseille. He was born in Marseille, one of five children of stonemason / sculptor François Pujol and his wife Rose. Soon after Pujol left school, he had a strange experience while swimming in the sea. This is where I'm going to have to ask you to go ahead and buckle up your seatbelts. Things are about to get a little wacky. He put his head underwater and held his breath, whereupon he felt, this is a quote from Wikipedia, this is not my writing.
Okay.
He put his head underwater and held his breath, whereupon he felt an icy cold penetrating his rear.
Oh my God.
He ran ashore in fright and was amazed to sense water pouring from his anus. A doctor assured him there was nothing to worry about because
it's normal.
Yeah,
it's
totally like a normal doctor in the 1800s. He doesn't worry about anything.
We got leeches and we got
it's the least stressful job in the world as a doctor in the 19th
we
century.
Can cut it off or we can put leeches on you.
Well, it doesn't look like I can cut that off. I'm out of leeches, so I'm going to say I'm not worried about it.
That'll be $700.
About a decade later, while serving in the French army, Pujols recounted his story to his buddies in the barracks, and they dared him, for whatever fucked up reason, to replicate this feat. So he'd never done it in between then and now. Like, he was super embarrassed about it. Pujols marched down to the beach.
Mama always said, never hold your breath in the ocean.
This is way more Forrest Gump than you're going to want to think about. So Pujols marched down to the beach, stood in waist-deep water, and long story short, a star was born that night.
Oh my God.
Pujols found he had the unique ability to control what we'll be referring to throughout this podcast as his butt plug muscles and could draw and expel not only water, but he eventually discovered air. This meant essentially he could fart at will and at varying tones and timbres. So,
imagine being the judge of the timbre of the fart.
We aren't even getting started. We're just like,
where has this podcast gone to, man?
I told you before we started that this was the worst podcast I've ever had to research. The more I got into this,
there had to have been a moment where you were like, no, there's no fucking way.
I hated this man so much, I couldn't believe this was a real thing. I was like, I don't ever want to hear the old generation talking about how things have declined. Oh my God. To be entirely accurate.
So as long as we're on the same page, this is a little bit weird.
We're going to get real on the same page right now. So to be entirely accurate, this wasn't caused by gas at all. Solely by this uniquely horrific and deplorable quote-unquote talent to draw air up into his ass and expel it by controlling the butt plug muscles to make different squeaks and rumbles and grunts. And so Pujols spent years honing his skills. A lot of quote unquotes here.
Honing his skills.
And eventually he took his act public in Marseille. Before long, he found himself...
How good of a farter do you have to be before you go
public?
You're going
to find out. The whole world is going to find out. Because I decided on this one, I was like, you know what? Not real familiar with what the licensing laws are for using this. I don't give a shit. Take it off iTunes then, because a lot of people are going to at least get to hear what this guy sounded like. There is a recording of it. You're going to hear it before the show is over.
Oh my God.
Yes, sir. He spent years honing his skills and eventually took his act public. Before long, he found himself quite popular and auditioned at the Moulin Rouge. This is from a Slate article. Slate had a very extensive article on Pujols.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
I
missed it in Forbes.
So. Wall Street Journal passed.
Yeah.
The job interview consisted of him dropping his trousers, cleansing his instrument, they put that in quotes, by sucking up water. He normally gave himself 5 enemas per day, then serenading the owner. These are all their words. Then serenading the owner. The owner, flabbergasted, hired him immediately.
I must admit, Ben, this was a much better story in my own mind, just thinking there was like a ghost in the ocean, a raping ghost in the ocean, rather than...
I wish it was that simple.
It never is.
It's never that simple. Especially right now. At first, people weren't sure what to make of this new sound. Exactly like Jimi Hendrix decades later, Pujols was looked at.
You just made that analogy.
What? Do you see a problem with it?
No. I mean, well, I can't judge or give my own opinion in this matter because I still haven't heard.
I think by the end of it, you'll be referring to Jimi Hendrix as the
Yosef Pujols guitar.
Definitely. No doubt in my mind.
Okay.
Exactly like Jimi Hendrix decades later, people were first in shock, then in awe, and then he was immensely popular. Within a few years, Pujols was making roughly 20,000 francs a show, which
was
$20,000 today, but if you translated that, it was some ungodly number when I translated that.
Like 150 years ago?
Yeah, so when I, okay. It was like 100 years ago, when I, 110 years ago, when I took that and then transferred it to dollars at the time, and then took that and then counted in for inflation,
right.
It was like fucking like 100 grand or something. It was crazy.
He was making, I mean,
balling, big balling money.
He's got money coming out of his wazoo.
He literally does. And I, when I was writing this, I was like, I wonder how long it's going to take for him to make that joke. And you made it 15 minutes and 54 seconds.
Mark it.
Very good. Very nice. Very
and
nice.
Scene.
Much longer than I anticipated.
Oh, really?
This made him the highest paid act at the prestigious Moulin Rouge. Nicole Kidman, eat your heart out.
Wow, fucking Siegfried and Roy eat their
dude,
heart out.
Yeah,
man.
We're a tiger. Jesus. This dude's over here fucking
right.
Farting Yankee Doodle Dandy.
So now, if the tiger can fart, now
all right,
that's
a show. He's got something I'll pay to see. Pujols. This is a breakdown of a typical show for Pujol. Pujol would walk out wearing a tuxedo and introduce himself. God, you can't even. It's too much. When I was writing this, I was just like, fuck this guy. Fuck everyone who had anything to do with this. So he would walk out wearing a tuxedo and introduce himself. Then he would go into a series of quote-unquote impressions like wife on her wedding day and wife on her wedding night and his ever-popular the mother-in-law. But these are all Sean's face. Looks like I just your face looks like
I'm
I just
sorry,
showed you.
I'm kind of like lost for words here, man. This is just outrageously hilarious. I'm sorry, I don't have more to say, but I can't stop fucking laughing.
Your eyes are just bugging out, man. Okay, so this is La Pantomime. And this is like an actor that's going to come out, and this is real footage, and then an actor is going to come out and like play his act, and then I'm going to play you a recording of his actual act.
Okay.
Okay? All right, so here we go.
I love the music. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, he would have a guy playing a piano for him.
This is a piano player part too?
No, just him. Here's the actual, here's an actor playing him. Famous movie.
What's it supposed to be?
He's making impressions. You think these people think he's making it. Just farting. It's not even good. Just immensely popular. Like that's like what a reenactment of his actual show. And now,
but it's nothing. It's just a guy who can fart.
Now you think that was just the guy that can fart? Wait until you hear the actual guy.
Oh, that wasn't even the
no,
like a real sound.
That was like a actor doing a reenactment of one of his shows, right? So here is the actual recording of La Patomon. This should be right. I don't know what he's saying. Little piano playing?
You've got to be kidding me. Oh my God. This is the highest paid actor.
He's not even good
in the world.
He's just farting.
Oh my god.
You. Dude, what the fuck? It doesn't seem like it could be real.
highest paid act at the Moulin Rouge. People loved it. It's just a dude fucking talking. Oh, there's a piano playing. And he's just farting. That's an actual recording.
Holy fuck.
That guy was like, yeah, that was a Siegfried and Roy of the turn of the century last century.
Holy shit. So I'm trying my hardest to not, like, billow the fucking rafters with laughter. Oh my god.
It just seems like it couldn't be real.
Seriously think you're pulling a joke on me right now.
I swear to you, unless this is all an elaborate hoax on this podcast specifically, I am not.
Is this... Are we starting to sympathize for him yet? Or can we still think this is a fucking idiot fest?
I hated this man by halfway through. I hated him. I hated his audience. I hated his manager. Because you expected it to be what it was advertised as, and then you forget that it's like 1895 advertisement, so it's just going to be some guy farting. It's not even good. He's just farting. But since there's an obvious question, so since this was not caused by gas, there was no smell, because he's just pulling air into his ass. Pumping it back out again. The Slate.com article breaks down the science behind all this, and I learned far more than I ever wanted to know about farting.
Slate.com, what a
really doing their diligence in the farting game.
Highbrow, informative, so CNN level stuff.
I picked one sentence or one question that they had that they addressed in the article. Why can't human beings sing out of their butts?
It's a great question.
This is the answer.
It is a great question.
Exactly. The anus lacks vocal cords, of course, and those are nothing special. This is from the article. Those are nothing special. Just flaps to help keep food and water out of the airways. The anal sphincter can buzz like a trumpeter's mouth anyways, which is almost as good. The writer is very pro people butt singing.
Definitely.
He's like someone talking about going to the moon.
Has
he's
no like, idea the irony of what he's...
The moon's not even that far away, you guys.
He's writing in English a spoken language to the world. Oh, this is not that important.
How much simpler of a world it could be.
Imagine it all typed out like...
He actually goes on
There's
to
a lot
say,
of P's and F's.
Mostly P's, F's, and T's. He goes on to say that a bigger problem is that our butts lack lips and tongues and the organs that mold emerging air currents into words. And I would say that is not the bigger problem.
No, why would you even want to think about this?
The bigger problem. But really... This is him again. Really, we could get by with... This is just an example of the horse shit I had to sift through
right.
for hours and hours to
well,
come up with
I imagine
this
that
asshole
there's
story.
Not very too many, there's not very many reputable sources on the topic.
Reputable sources? No. Not that many sources. Incorrect. There's tons of sources.
I imagine what your Google search looks like right now.
I hope that the NSA is going to be understanding. Overall, evolution easily could have done a U-turn long ago and developed fancier folds around our anuses for rectal talking. This
yeah,
guy
that totally makes sense. Is, yeah. What a fucking idiot, by the way.
I forgot to put his name in there, but we'll put it in the liner notes. And if you ever listen to this podcast, fuck you. Yeah. Like, I mean, seriously. Oh, thank you, Slate, for your relentless pursuit of the truth.
Where they ate by... They started to shit out their mouths instead.
That's what this guy wants to
do.
Oh,
my God.
He's like, well, there's no reason we can't just shit out of our mouths, you guys. Yeah. Like, the only reason we're not singing out of our asses... is because we don't have vocal cords in
it's
there.
It's because we chose not to.
It's like, no, we're not singing out of our asses because that's of our ass. Oh, boy. You psycho.
Pujol was the toast of old Paris.
Pujol.
I kept wanting to say Albert Pujol during this too, the famous baseball player. And he's just like, no, he's not famous for this.
Pujol comes from a long line of butt farters. Fucking butt talkers.
No, they call themselves fartists.
Wasn't Nicolas Cage in that movie, The Butt Talker?
I think he was. They went to an alternate universe and recruited all these people that sang out of their butts to defeat the Japanese. Pujol was a toast of old Paris. He hobnobbed with the elite of the time, including European royalty and Dr. Sigmund Freud himself, who is said to have kept a picture of Pujol on his desk.
What a nut job.
Yeah, no kidding. Pujol was riding high on success, having moved his wife and children to the big city.
This is the... Well, let's pause for a moment. This
what,
is,
you have something to bring up?
Yes, I have something to bring up. Let's talk about our definition of sanity comes from a man.
Sean, I like to define success as doing what you can with what you have. Now, while this gentleman is not chosen a lifestyle I'd agree with, I would say he's successful.
Okay, maybe I want to know if Sigmund Freud had his picture on his desk as a joke?
No. Actually, there was a couple articles I read where they said he developed his theory for the, like, probably like the anal fetish from like his obsession with Pujol.
Okay.
Yeah, he was like, well, that's why people love to hear this guy fart, because they're obsessed with anuses. Like,
well, no.
It's, I don't know, it's, we'll check the rating on this podcast. And
we'll see. Yeah, email us what you think about this.
Yeah, I think Fred was full of shit. I don't know.
In the subject type, urgent, what?
Yeah, definitely.
Urgent. Insert butt joke here.
Yeah. Oh, that's what I was going to say. These guys also call, that's La Patome. Means, God, man. This seems like it couldn't be. Le Pomme. It means the fartomaniac.
Oh my God.
The fartomaniac. Like, it sounds like a WB cartoon.
It sounds like a wrestler. It sounds like the knockoff WWE.
Exactly. Yeah. Like a backyard. Like, yeah, the ring is just a bunch of mattresses.
Shitty mattresses.
Yeah, so anyways, Pujol was riding high on his success. However you want to define
headache,
that.
Man.
He moved his wife and children to the big city of Paris.
Wait a minute. So not only...
He's a lady killer.
He's a lady killer, man. Maybe Sigmund
Freud
was...
Well, his wife was with him before he got big.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
And then,
well, I can imagine that the women were flocking in after this newly discovered talent was put out there for the world to see.
Call them poopies. Get, see what I did there instead of groupies?
It's called poopies. Yeah. Oh, okay.
Got to catch up.
That scores 1-1 tonight. All right.
All right. Pujols was riding high on his success, wife and children to the big city. However, there were a few rough patches. In 1894,
there were a few pockets of gas and turbulence.
Yeah, there was
maybe.
Rough patches is also a terrible analogy to use for this, I guess. I don't want any rough patches in his game. In 1894, he was fined 3,000 francs by the owner of the Moulin Rouge for helping a friend with his bakery, and his deal was you stand outside the bakery and fart tunes.
So. Are you fucking kidding? Are you making this shit up as we're sitting here now? Did you research the most bullshit fucking thing you can imagine on the internet? This has to be a complete bogus fucking nightmare that somebody had.
I've been fucking balls deep in this for hours this week, man, and it's been a horrible week. And I'll tell you what, it is... Unfortunately, all 100% true.
Oh, man.
For whatever reason, it worked, too. It drove people to his bakery to have him out there fucking farting alouette.
Well, it was a simpler time, I guess, maybe, before refrigerator
really.
Farting alouette.
When people get nostalgic, it's just like, no,
this was a time when people were farting show tunes, but they weren't even farting show tunes. It was just having a guy play farting. Show tunes. Yeah,
and then the guy farting. What the fuck? Oh, so, God.
So he was fined.
Well, we've come a long way. I can say.
I don't know. It depends. Listen to Jonas Brothers record. Have we?
Let's not do a story next week on the Jonas Brothers. That can only take so much shit.
But it worked for his buddy. It drove up sales, but it got so popular that his boss, the Moulin Rouge, found out about it, and he was fined the 3,000 francs because he was contractually obligated to fart only within the confines of the Moulin Rouge when farting for money.
I imagine when he asked him to sign his name, he wiped his ass with the document.
Oh, God. Pujols even took...
Real classy this week, folks.
Pujols, I figured this would wreck the integrity of the
this
show.
This is one you would listen to with headphones.
Yeah. This will cost... If you have a... If you're in any kind of relationship, this will definitely cost you that. I imagine any kind of stable employment, this will cost you. Make sure that you're wearing headphones.
Disclaimer, yeah, don't listen at work.
Probably should put that at the beginning of the show.
We can edit that in. We'll edit
no,
that
no, 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 no. All right. No, they've got to learn on the fly like I did.
Podcast roulette.
Yeah. Pujols even took to the road with a highly successful and highly lucrative tour of Europe and North Africa.
I bet that tour bus smelled like farts.
No, it didn't because it wasn't gas. You got to pay attention, Sean.
It was a joke.
You can't smell. He's not a smelly fartist. That's really what he called himself too. He called himself fartist. There's others out there that we'll talk about.
What the fuck?
Yeah, yeah. However, in 1914, World War I would break out, devastating France. Joseph Pujols would see four of his sons march off to fight for France. One would be taken prisoner, and two would return totally handicapped. It totally devastated his family, and like many, Pujols and his family were shattered by the experience of the war and decided to move back to Marseille. Here he would open and operate the first one and then a string of successful bakeries, that's pretty impressive in France because it's a very...
Seems like a competitive market.
Yeah, so that'd be good at it. In the 1920s, he relocated to Toulon and he left the run of the bake shop to his children and grandchildren.
Hmm.
In 1945, 1 month after VE Day, Pujols would pass away. You know, VE Day, Victory Europe Day.
Okay.
So that's the day that the Nazis surrendered. Okay. So 1 month after that, to the day, Pujols would pass away at the age of 88.
I was confusing that with VD
Day. VD Day. That's why I'm wanting to make that clarification. Right. With the direction this has gone already.
VD Day is different than
you could
vary, date.
You could be forgiven for assuming I was talking about VD Day for the direction that this is taken. A month after VE Day, he would pass away at the age of 88. He was buried in La Vallée du Var Cemetery, where his body remains to this day. After his death, doctors offered a large sum of money to the Pujol family for Joseph's body in order to study it and find out why he had such a peculiar skill. However, this was refused by the family. Pujol has, in fact, though, he's cast quite a shadow on modern culture.
Most definitely.
It's pretty astounding.
A shadow that nobody really even knows that they're underneath as well.
Well, this kind of blew my mind. Several musicals...
What was that movie they remade? They made a movie called Moulin Rouge.
Yeah, that's what I talked about.
Wasn't that about farts? Wasn't it about whores?
Personally, I think it would have been much more successful if they had included this. Yeah. If Ewan McGregor had been farting out an ever-ending love story.
Oh, yeah. Well, wasn't like Christina Aguilera in it or something?
That was like a fucking... In high school, you thought that was like a pretty hot music video because they had all these fucking hot chicks in it. And now in 2017...
Right. They're just all like sticky. Yeah.
That's not the best.
But she farts through that music video, right?
I think so.
Okay.
That's what it sounds like. Never mind. There's several musicals based on his life, such as... And the fun is not over yet. Such as The Fartiste.
awarded Best Musical of 2006 at the New York International Fringe Festival. Are you
kidding me? This is...
And Seth Rosen's, or Rosen's, this is the actual title, A Passing Wind, which was premiered at the Philadelphia International Festival of the Arts in 2011, which I think we can now discredit both of those institutions.
Even the years 2006 and
they're 2011. They're gone. Completely
like a hotel with a floor 13. It does not exist.
Let's see. The character his character has been portrayed several times in film. In 1979, Ian McNaughton made a short humorous...
The fuck? Fartist.
What was that? The fartist, dude.
It scared the shit out of me.
Something fell out of the fridge. Probably Poole not happy with us.
Are we seriously this far into the episode and we have not seen the irony that his name is Poohole?
I have for about 25 hours this week. So yeah, it's there's a lot to take in here. Let's see. Oh, this is, yeah, there's tons more. In 1979, Ian McNaughton made a short humorous film written by Galton and Simpson called Le Patamon, based on Pujols' story. And in 1983, an Italian movie. This is, of course, the most stereotypical Italian shit you could do. An Italian movie, Il Patamon, directed by Pasquale Festa Campanile, and starring Ugo Tognozzi, I don't know who these people are. Check out the slant they took on this. It gives a poetic rendition of the character, contrasting his deep longing for normality with the condition of freak to which his act relegated him. The 1998 documentary Le Patamon by Igor Vamos examines Josip Pujol's place in history through archival films.
Holy shit. The twist. All right, I want to remake it.
I got one more. One more that's going to blow your mind.
Okay,
one more.
This might blow your mind as well.
This reference blew my mind. La Patamon is also referenced in Blazing Saddles.
Okay.
In a 1974 satirical Western comedy film, right? Directed by Mel Brooks.
Mel Brooks
appears in multiple supporting roles, right?
Yeah.
Including the dim-witted Governor William J. Le Patamon.
Oh, shit.
Whose name suggests that he's full of hot air.
Yeah, okay.
So what's your spin here?
Well, all right. So I thought about making like a modern art type of thing out of his, you know, freak. Instead of being a freak, why not exploit it and be classy about it? So
he wore a tuxedo.
What if instead of farting, he spray painted?
I have one better for you. Check this out. He would put a lit candle on a table 6 feet away.
That's pretty fucking funny, too.
And stand away from the... And he would blow the candle out with his asshole.
I can't believe it. He would blow. It's like those little air cannon things that they get at Sharper Image and stuff.
He cleans his keyboard.
And then you got some stoner trying to huff it, trying to get it.
So to this day, there are even several fartists out there doing their thing.
Oh my god, man, I can't even keep it together. This is the most ridiculous shit.
They're still out there. They're still doing their thing. The spectacularly untalented, I mean, really... I don't know this guy's backstory, but like, this guy was the worst. There's a guy. I'll show you the video. We'll take this
title,
out.
The worst farter in the world.
His name is Mr. His name is Mr. Methane. And he, the video that I found of him was
like
on this
Captain Planet.
I've got this video that I'm going to show you. I'll put a link to it in the description. It's too long to show here, but I'm going to show you after we get down here. I'll describe it for you. It's him on a late night British TV show. He's dressed in an all green superhero outfit, spandex and stuff with a cape and these little trunks. and he's got like a mask, like a Zorro mask on, so you can't see his face. And he has a guy like playing guitar or something. They interview him real quick. He's a real fucking weirdo, you can tell. He hops up on this table or piano or something. It's been a couple days since I've seen the video. I haven't watched it again. You'll see why. he hops up on the table and he pulls himself up into fucking happy baby position. Like happy baby in yoga, you know, where you're grabbing your feet. Like he fucking hops up there like that. And
so
hold on. He's added a new twist. What he does different from the Tata Mom is he has an assistant. And what does the assistant do, you might ask? Well, he...
The
assistant is this very distinguished looking gentleman, and he takes a full... a box of baby powder and squirts it.
No.
He squirts while Mr. Methane is in Happy Baby, he squirts it right over Mr. Methane's butthole. And this is on BBC television. This is on like Lem, the British equivalent of like Jay Leno. And he's got this guy in Happy Baby, he squirts the powder over his butt, and then this guy starts he starts farting out smoke on the water. And it's just as bad as pool. It sounds nothing like something. It's nothing at all. It's just a dude farting.
Oh man, this whole episode, they're not even going to be able to tell what we're talking about. It's just fucking noise and laughter. Dude, so like, is there ever been a fartist who has shit themselves on stage?
If there is, I couldn't find it. I really looked. I mean, I'm guessing that's why he had the baby powder, so that, I don't know if Mr. Methane has the same horrific ability or what. Definitely go either just YouTube. Well, you don't even have to go look at the link. You can just YouTube Mr. Methane and that video will come up. And it will watch it at night because it'll ruin your day. Don't watch it first thing in the morning. So thank you to Mr. Poole for your contribution to the arts and to music history. He really was a nice guy. He was a good guy. He was a good guy, family man.
Seems like he just couldn't catch a break. So
by the end of this, like when I started, I really hated him. At the end of it, I was like, this is a nice guy. He was just out there making a living with what he had.
Yeah.
And he, you know, like he wasn't a bad dude. Mr. Methane sure looks like a shithead to me. I don't know. But thank you, Mr. Poole, for your contribution to the arts and to music history. And thank you, Sean, for hanging in there. Thank you especially to the listeners for hanging in there for this truly insane story about... a good man with a very unique talent. Doesn't get much worse
than that, though.
It has been a hell of a week doing this research for this.
Has Simpsons done this?
A fartist. I don't, they definitely didn't have anybody spraying baby powder on their butt.
Well, someone call Fox.
Yeah, because this is right up their alley.
Yep.
So, we just want to thank you for tuning in again, and, always good to have you back on All Damn Night. We'll be getting another episode out to you next week. Be sure to check us out on facebook.com/alldamnnightpodcast, All Damn Night Podcast on facebook.com, All Damn Night Podcast on Instagram, All Damn Night on Twitter. If you have any show ideas or any questions, comments,
please feel free to email us.
No more Mr. Methane videos.
Right.
Okay, one or two more. Yeah,
maybe.
Email them at alldamnnightpodcast@gmail.com. Sean has put up an amazing Patreon page. So,
just check it out.
Yeah, we're getting that rolling. We will have...
It's in the initial inaugural steps.
Right, and there's a bunch of really cool options. He's done a great job on it. So we're doing that to get that rolling. We'll have a lot cooler stuff we can do where we can do a lot deeper research and get a hold of books and stuff that we're not able to get
books
hold
on
of.
Farting mainly. Yeah, that's really what this is all about.
Yeah, that's the last thing I want delivered to my house.
Well, it comes in a box marked dildos or something.
Covered
like
in baby
that.
Powder.
Yeah, covered in. No, so just to draw attention away from the fact that it's an actual textbook.
Just
about
a textbook about Mr. Methane. So thanks again for tuning in. We will see you next week. Always good having you here on All Damn Night.